Good to be with everybody this morning. Hope and pray that you come here this morning expecting the Lord to bless you this morning, because I know that He can do that. Honestly, I believe that. I felt it down through my spirit. Many times He has blessed. Come to church. It didn't feel like coming to church sometimes. But you know, when I got here through His Spirit dealing and through the testimonies, He is blessed. He is blessed like you cannot believe. And I just praise Him for that here this morning. This is not the scripture I'm going to read, but this is not my sermon text scripture this morning. But I wanted to read something. The Lord just showed this to me this morning here. It's over in John 3:7. And you've heard this scripture before. It says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye shall be born again." Now, before I get any farther on that, what He's telling, He's talking to Nicodemus and what He told him, "Marvel not, ye, Nicodemus, that I'm telling thee," that's everybody, "must be born again." That's what He's saying. That's what He's saying there. I'm telling you this morning, and I'm just being blunt with this here this morning with you. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I don't know where you're at in your life, but it's plain and simple as this. You must be born again of the Spirit of God, or you will not see heaven. You're not going to see it. And that's just as plain and simple as it can get. I'm not trying to be, but I thought about that. The Lord showed that to me over there, because sometimes we get caught up on some of this stuff. I'm just here to tell you this morning, you have to be saved. You've got to be born again. Coming to church does not save you. Doesn't save you. What saves you is if you have the Spirit of God in your life and that if you've been born again. If you're not that, you're not saved. Plain and simple. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not saved here this morning. There's going to come a time here in a little bit, we're going to have an altar call. And we have that altar call. That is the time for you, if the Spirit of God is dealing with you, to come to this altar here and to be saved. And you're saying, is this the only place I can be saved? Absolutely not. You can be saved outside this church. You can be saved at your house. You can be saved in your car driving down the road. You can be saved at your you can be saved at Walmart. What makes the difference is if the Spirit of God comes into you and you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you and you know that. But if you don't have that assurance this morning, you need to come to an altar someplace and come to know that Jesus loves you. Now, that's not my sermon. But the Lord just pressed that upon me this morning. If you would, let us stand this morning. The scripture is going to come up here on the screen. If not, we're going to be in two different places. We're going to be in Matthew 21, and we're also going to be in John 11. I know that's up there is a little different. I'm going to start out with Matthew on it. We'll start out in Matthew 21, 12, and 13. And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Then in John 11:35, it tells us this, very simple scripture, Jesus wept. That's supposed to be the smallest verse of Scripture, whatever they want to say in the Bible, but neither here nor there. But Jesus wept. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I thank You this morning, Lord, for Your mercy and grace that You bestowed upon each and every one of us, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning that the hearts and minds of those that are here this morning, Father, I pray that they're opened up, Lord, this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord Jesus, that as they're opened up, Lord, I pray that the anointing would come upon me this morning as well, Lord. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, that everyone could come to the knowledge and the truth and the understanding of the Scripture here this morning, Lord. And we will give You the praise for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Amen. As Christians, my first question to you this morning is, who should we emulate? Absolutely. We should emulate Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. Jesus, and this is what I've titled my sermon this morning, Jesus was a weeper and Jesus was a warrior. And why I say that is because, you know, I heard Linda talk about, like, she cries all the time. There are people that cry for the grace and the knowledge of God. They cry for the souls that are around them. And there are people that are warriors in the church that will stand up. They're the ones that are bold and will go out. But I'm telling you, Jesus was both a weeper and Jesus was both a warrior. Can I tell you this morning, if you want to emulate anybody, you don't emulate Dave Long. You don't emulate nobody else in this church. You emulate Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? That is the one that you should emulate. In these last days, you know what God's looking for? God is looking down to see if there's anybody willing to put calluses on their knees. Anybody willing to get on their knees and cry out to God and say, God, this is what's going on in my family. God, this is what's going on in my church. God, this is what's going on in people around me. Lord, is there anybody in here willing to get on their knees and wear calluses on their knees and weep and pray and say, God, you do a work because I can't do it myself? Is there in the last days God is looking for a church who is willing to go to the front line of the battle as well? Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to go to the front line of the battle and fight for the Lord, fight for His Word, fight for the lost souls that are in our family? Are you willing to do that this morning? Because God, I'm telling you, Jesus was both a weeper and Jesus was a warrior. He wasn't putting up with nonsense in the house of God. He wasn't going to do that because He knew that that's not the way that it should be. God Himself is looking down to see if there's any who understand that the times we live in call for both weepers and they call for warriors. And brothers and sisters, we need to know whether or not we've got that. Who are willing to seek His face and willing to do it continually? Are we willing to do that here this morning? We serve a God, now listen to this, who's able to intervene in the affairs of nations, in the affairs of churches, in the affairs of families, and in the affairs of individuals. Don't let anybody tell you that we don't serve a God that can't intervene in those stuff, because we do serve a God that can do that. I believe that. We must be willing to do as the Bible says. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and this is what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then what did he say he would do? He said, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. If we're not willing to get some calluses on our knees, if we're not willing to stand up and fight for what is right, we'll never see this nation change. You're not going to see your family change. You're not going to see your church change. You're not going to see your communities change. We have got to be willing to be on our knees. We've got to be willing to be fighters. We've got to be willing to get out and do the work that needs to be done. It's not Belinda's purpose to go do what you should be doing. It's not my purpose to be doing what you should be doing. I'm not saying that I don't have a work and that I don't have a job. We all do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's got to be more than just a preacher. It's got to be more than just the leadership of this church. It has to be every individual who is willing to get on their knees, willing to fight, willing to pray, willing to cry, willing to do the things that need to be done. If my people, which are called by my name, brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that everybody in here this morning is called by His name as a Christian. I hope and pray that. But if you are not, we can do, there's a way to take care of that here in a little bit. He wants men and women who have a passion, who have a passion for the lost. Do you have a passion for the lost? I'm not just talking about a casual, well, they're lost and they're in my family and I know they need to be saved. I'm talking about a get on your knees, willing to battle the devil, passion for those that are lost in your family. Because if you do not have that kind of a passion, you do not have no passion whatsoever for the lost. You don't. You got to have a passion for the lost. Who have a passion for the, for, do you have a passion for this nation? I'm going to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are not victims. Can I have an amen? We're not victimized. How do you know that, Dave? Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, as Christians, my Father has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm here to tell you, I am no victim. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to have everything in this world. I've got Him, and that's all that matters. And if I got Him, I can go to battle, and I can go to battle with everything that's in me this morning, because I know we serve that kind of a God this morning. That was through the list in the chapter of faith. They subdued nations. Do you believe we can subdue nations this morning? Absolutely. I believe we serve a God that can subdue nations. He can bring this nation to its knees. They were not spiritual wimps. We're not wimps here this morning. Christians, we are not wimps. We are the weepers and the warriors that God wants to get after it and do it. God wants people who have a passion for their community. I hope and pray that you have a compassion for your community this morning. I'm not talking about getting something built for the community. I'm hoping you have a passion to see your community turned around and serving God. That's what I hope you have a passion for. There's all these other things out there that the devil likes to throw out about our communities and stuff. Brother, there's nothing any more important than seeing our community on fire for God. Who have a passion for their church to serve God in spirit and in truth. Can I tell you something? And I don't mean to, I hope I don't rile any of you, but I hope that everybody in here has a passion for Drift Run Church this morning. I hope you have a passion for this church to grow and to succeed and do what God wants it to do. If you don't have a passion for this church, then you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say to you. All I can say is you need to have that passion in your life. I hope and pray that that passion is there for all of you who have a passion to see all those in their family on fire for God. Do you have that passion this morning? I have a passion that I want my people, my children and my grandchildren and those in my family on fire serving God this morning. That's my passion for my family this morning. I don't care if they have the best job in the world. I don't care if they have the best education in the world. I don't care that I want them to have a passion for serving the true and the living God. How about you this morning? We think we want to give our children the best. We want them to have more than what we have. I tell you, I want them to have more of the Spirit than what I had. How about you this morning? I want them to have more of the Spirit than what I've got. I want them to have that absolutely. Praise God this morning for that. If you've never understood this, and if you're not on board with that, then you truly don't understand what is important to God. You don't. God is looking down on every generation, and He is looking for weepers, and He is looking for warriors. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for intercessors, those who go to battle on their knees. I'm telling you, I don't need to fight the people out here in the world with my mouth and with my wisdom. I don't need to do that. I can fight on my knees praying that God will take care of the situation. And if you don't believe that God can take care of the situation, don't get on your knees and start praying, because He wants you to get on your knees and pray in faith, believing. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's what He wants. And let Him handle it. I'm tired. Me personally, I come and I pray and I get on my knees and I pray and I pick it right back up and I take it right back to my seat with me. I take it right back out of this church. I take it right back to my house. God said to leave it with Him at that altar is what He wants us to do. God is looking down. He's looking for those intercessors. He's looking for the battle-tested veterans. God told the weeping prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 5:1, He would spare the city if He found just one to repent. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof. And if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth, What did he say he would do? He said he would pardon them. Just one. Just one. My Bible tells me if two are gathered together in his name, agreeing upon any one thing, anything, it said what should happen? What's it say it'll do, Alita? It shall be done. He didn't back. I'm not going to back off from that. Oh, no, you shouldn't say that. No, I'm going to say it shall be done. God told Abraham in Genesis 18, he would spare Sodom if he could just find a handful. If he could just find a handful. Preadventure, 10 shall be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And we know how both stories turned out, do we not? Folks, we cannot treat casually what is important to God. I want to say that again. You cannot treat casually what is important to God. God told Isaiah in 62:6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Are you holding your peace? Are you holding your peace? We are his watchmen today. We are the ones to go out. The Bible tells us to a lost generation. We're the ones to go out. We're not to hold our peace. We're supposed to be bold as lions. We're supposed to go out and talk to those that are lost, those that need Jesus in their heart, those in this nation that are depraved and don't know half of what they're doing because the devil has them blinded. It said, day and night, ye that make mention of the Lord, what's it say? Keep not silent. Keep not silent. You don't need to keep silent here this morning. You don't need to keep silent when you go out of this church. God has set a divine principle in place. And can I tell you? And his word shall not return unto him void. Psalms 126:5. They that sow in tears. What's it say? They said they shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him. They that sow in tears. Brother, I think we've lost that sometimes. We all want to be warriors. We all want to go to battle. We need warriors. But brother, we need people who are willing, Claire, to cry and to get on their knees and say, God, this isn't right, God. You're the one that can change this. It goes beyond our own natural abilities. Do you agree with that here this morning? This goes beyond our own human logic. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Brothers and sisters, God, you can sit back here and you can try to reason out how that this world out here, and you can try to reason out how that this world out here is making things better, how this world is doing things right, I'm telling you right now, your thoughts don't even come to a drop to what God thinks about all this out here. Doesn't even come to even just a little drop of what God thinks of his ways, his plans. Whenever we look at things and how things are going, remember, it is his plans and his ways. God is calling for, God is looking for. He's looking for weepers and he's looking for warriors who will strike a balance between weeping and being warring. He's wanting that. He's wanting that out of all of us here this morning. Because he wants us to be weepers and he wants us to be warriors. Praying and serving. Saying and doing. Do you get tired of hearing people talk about it but never doing anything about it? Amen? I want to hear people say and I want to hear people do. Can I have an amen? Amen. Remember this when you see all that's going on. All the evil, all the wickedness. We have never locked eyes. I'm going to tell you, and you have never locked eyes with anybody out here in this world that God didn't love. Amen. Amen? I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've been. You have never locked eyes with one person that God didn't love. He sent his son to die for the most ungodly in this world. He sent him to die for them. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, Jesus once crossed a stormy sea to get to a demon-possessed maniac. Amen? What happened when he got to him? He delivered him. He set him free. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus will do. He loved him. Then told him to go back to his family and friends and tell them of the great things that God had done unto him. Can I tell you here this morning? God had done a work in this old boy's life. I've said it here and I'll continue to say it. You wouldn't want me as your preacher if you knew me years ago. You wouldn't want to know me for what I was like years ago. But I praise God, I am not that man anymore. I'm not that way anymore because Jesus Christ saved me back in 1974 on a Wednesday night back in Mannington, West Virginia. And I have born again. I am saved, and there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ saved me. Set me on fire. Put my feet on a solid rock. Who's willing to, listen, those willing to get to the lost no matter what storms are in your way. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you enough of a warrior? Are you enough of a weeper here this morning that as the devil puts the storms in front of you, you're more than willing to stay the course and try to get to those that are lost and undone? To get to those that are in need of a Savior. What's the type of passion? That's the type of passion that this church needs. That's the type of passion that each of you need. And that's the type of passion that me and Jamie need as your pastors. Amen? That's the type of passion that we need to be. A passion where the gates of hell cannot even come against it. Can I say amen? The gates of hell cannot come against your family or this church as long as we're doing what comes under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen this morning? Amen. Oh, there'll be times it'll look like Satan's winning, but I can guarantee you when the battle's over, Jesus Christ will have won. Amen. Battle's over because of weepers and because of warriors. Praise His name this morning. I'm here to tell you. But when the battle's over, in Acts 4, Peter and John were put in jail and told not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But they had a passion. They were warriors. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen or heard. If you have been bought with the blood, if you're a Christian here this morning, you cannot help or speak of the things that has come into your heart that you've heard. You can't. You're not going to keep it to yourself. You're going to want everybody to know about it. You're going to want that. It's a passion that consumes us. It's a compassion that consumes me, Greg. Is it a compassion that consumes you? I hope so. I hope it consumes you. To the point that we can't help but preach it. We can't help but teach it. We can't help but share it. Amen? Amen. It's a passion that does. It should consume your soul. Whenever people are hurting out here in this world, it should consume you. No matter the consequence. We live in a time where there are no limits to our opportunities to spread the gospel. We talk about the phones being bad. We talk about Facebook being bad. But brothers, we have the opportunity to spread the gospel through those things like no time before in the history of mankind. Back in the 70s and the 60s, I'm dating myself. I can remember back in those times where you could spread the gospel through revival, through testimony in churches, or just one-on-one. But there was no internet. There was no cell phones. There was nothing like that. But praise God, today we have the opportunity like never before. Folks, I believe as we go out of this church this morning, we need to go out of here as conquerors, not wimps. Because we go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. You should go out of here this morning in the power of the Holy Ghost upon your life, saying, God, I believe you, the Spirit of God lives within me. I'm going out of here in the power of the Holy Ghost. We go forth in the power of the saving name of Jesus Christ this morning. We go forth with the Word of God. Yes, I know we're in the last days. I know we're in troubling times. But I also know God is still on the throne. I know Jesus is still sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for those who are willing to get on their knees and to accept Him. And I know this world, and I know His world still tells us in Romans 8:37, nay, in all things we are what? We are more than conquerors. Through Him that what? That loved us. You're not a conqueror through Dave Long. The name of Dave Long and a dollar might buy you a cup of coffee, and I doubt if he even does that today, Daryl. But brothers and sisters, we serve Jesus Christ, and we are more than conquerors in Him. We are more than conquerors in Him. Let's settle something right now. I want to tell you this. Don't mistake the bucket for the water. Don't mistake the bucket for the water. What are you talking about, preacher? Prayer is a good bucket. Praise is a good bucket. Preaching is a good bucket. Teaching is a good bucket. A testimony is a good bucket. But you ain't got nothing until you get the water in it. Can I have an amen? You ain't got nothing until the Spirit of God comes in it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So stay after it until you get the water. Stay after it until you get the water. Stay after it until the Holy Spirit comes over you so strong you can't stand it. Amen. Without God, without the Holy Spirit, you'll draw a blank and your bucket will be empty. Pray in the Spirit. And your prayers aren't, if you're not praying in the Spirit, your prayers aren't reaching the ceiling. Can I have an amen? Pray, praise in the Spirit. Praise Him in the Spirit. Your praise is empty if it's not with the Spirit of God showing you how, if it's not with the Spirit of God showing you how to praise. Preach in the Spirit. Without the anointing, preaching isn't nothing except talking, is it, Alita? Nothing except talking. Teach in the Spirit. If you don't teach in the Spirit, your teaching's empty. It's vain. Testify in the Spirit. If you're not testifying in the Spirit, you're just talking about things. You're just talking about things we could talk about outside this church. Amen? Amen. If you do these, I can guarantee you your bucket will be full. Amen. It will be full, brothers and sisters. Without, you can have all the buckets you want, but without the water, that bucket doesn't mean anything. Amen. There has to be a supernatural power working within us, within you, for any of this word to make sense to you this morning. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The power can't be faked. The power can't be bought. Simon wanted to buy it. Remember him over in Acts 8? Peter rebuked him. He wanted to buy what they had. When you get it, when you get saved, and from that point on, you got to cultivate it. Amen? You got to cultivate it. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? Of a sound mind. Can I say amen this morning to that? The power will identify His people. The power will identify His people. The power will identify His church. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm going to be blunt with you. I've been in churches before where there wasn't enough spirit to open up the door, not alone set the place on fire for anything. People were good people. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there's good people. But brothers and sisters, you need the Spirit of God there to have the stirring of the Spirit. And my Bible tells me that their spirit will bear witness with my spirit. Amen? That's what it says. I'm not giving you something that's not in there. The secret of the apostles was not what they said or done. It was the power by which they done it in. Can I tell you the secret to all of us here this morning? It's not by what we say or what we do. It's by the power by which we do it. Can I have an amen? It's by that power. They were the secret. They were all different after the day of Pentecost. Can I have an amen on that? Those apostles were all different. After the day of Pentecost, they saw through the eyes of Jesus. After the day of Pentecost, they felt with the heart of Jesus. They walked in the power of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. After the day of Pentecost, they did every one of those things. When I got up off of that outside of that church that night, I seen through the eyes of Jesus. I walked with the heart of Jesus. I walked in the power of Jesus because the Spirit of God dwelt in me. And if it dwells in you this morning, you have the eyes of Jesus. You have the heart of Jesus. Praise God, and you have the power of Jesus in your life. 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as what? Even as Dave Long walked? Even as he walked. Can I have an amen? We can walk. Amen. Yes, you can. Paul told the church at Corinth this. He told them, he said, listen. He said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul wasn't afraid to tell the people back then, you know, pay attention to how I walk. Pay attention to how I live my life. Because if I'm living my life right, I'm going after Jesus. And you can guarantee if I'm going after Jesus, you can emulate me. They become nothing so that Jesus become everything. Then they understood the love and the peace that passes all understanding. It was because of their commitment to the power of the Holy Spirit that flowed freely through them. They gave God everything, and God gave them everything. Can I have an amen? Amen. He did. They became weepers, and they became warriors. And that's what the church needs more of. Weepers and warriors. The church needs to be full of them. You want revival in this nation? You want revival in this nation and in your family and in this church and in your heart? You know what? It has to break out in you first. It starts with you. Starts with Greg and Michelle, Patty, Sue. I can go right around this church. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with the preacher up here behind his pulpit saying there's going to be revival. It doesn't start with Jamie. It doesn't start with the leadership in this church. It starts with you this morning. If you want revival to break out, it's got to break out in you this morning. In Joel 2:17, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Have you wept between your porch and your bedroom? Not alone between the porch and the altar. Have you wept praying for revival? Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? That's when things will begin to change, when you're willing to get on your knees and weep and pray for revival to break out in your heart. When you're tired of just the regular run-of-the-mill, walk with God. Are you tired of that here this morning? I hope and pray you are. I'll tell you what, I hope and pray that you are. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, when folks get tired of going to a dead church where they wouldn't know the difference between the Spirit of God and indigestion, when you get serious about serving Him, and fast and pray with everything in you. Not just to say that you're fasting and praying. Can I have an amen? You're fasting and praying with everything in you. The power will come. Hebrews 1:7 tells us what God can do with His servants. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angel spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire. I tell you what, I want to be a flame of fire for him. Amen. That's not just because I'm a preacher. I want that for everybody in here. I want you to be a flame of fire for him. Weepers and warriors. Those willing to do what God wants them to do. I praise his name this morning. Lamentations 2:11. This is what we need to do. My eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth. Are you so fed up with what's going on in this world? That's the first part of that, by the way. Are you so fed up with what's going on in your family? The devil has just come after your family. Are you so fed up with how he does your church? Are you so fed up with how he does your community, this nation? Brothers and sisters, get to the point to where you're sick of your stomach. Get on your knees and cry and pray out to God with everything that's in you. Then things will change. Amen? Belinda, come and get a song, please. As they're coming this morning, let us stand. If you wouldn't care, please, let us stand. Every head, every eye closed, every head bowed. I'm going to ask you this morning. This is between you and the God that you serve. Are you where you should be this morning with him? Serving him? Are you wanting to get closer to him this morning? Because I'm going to ask you, if you're not, I'm going to ask you to come up here in a little bit. But right now, if you are, please raise your hand this morning. If you feel that you need to be closer. I see hands going up across this church. I see it all over this church. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this altar is open for that here this morning. I'm not going to come back and get, I don't do that stuff. That's between you and your God. But I can tell you this morning, come to this altar this morning as this song is being played, and let people gather around and let us pray this morning that God will make you a flame of fire. Amen? Amen. All right, you can lift your heads up now. Belinda, what do we have?